Time to join James Elliott and Te Reira. Kia ora rā kōrua, both of you. Welcome to the program. Te Reira, have you managed to escape Wellington yet?
Well, no, I haven't, actually. And neither did a lot of other people who turned up to pick up their rental cars they had booked at the last minute last night, only to discover there were no cars of a physical nature. So there was a wonderful camaraderie. People piled into other people's cars to take them to the vague destination they were attempting to get to, whereas I thought, you know what? I will stay in town another day and take my flight tomorrow. Missing out, of course, on the excellent Night Lunch, if anyone knows them, from Dunedin. They're playing their vinyl launch in Auckland tonight. And I was really looking forward to it. That's $12 I'll never get back again from that ticket. So, you know, here we are. And actually, the poor old, like, I was thinking about the first story we were going to talk about this week, which is that Aristotle Aguirre, who is the new mayor of a town in the Philippines, has ordered all the public servants to smile or risk forfeiting 6 months of their salary. And I tell you what, the poor old desk people at Air New Zealand and the rental car companies have just been under the gun this week. So a shout out to them trying to deal with people and families and travellers just in the great travel calamity of 22.
It's starting to sound like Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave Wellington. It's crazy weather. This story about being, you know, smile or be fine, 6 months' salary is quite extreme. James, tell us a little bit more about it, if you would.
Yeah, so mayor in the Philippines, and it's the council staff. He says that people have to travel a long way. I think he referenced coconut farmers and fishermen who often have to travel a long distance to get to the council to conduct their business. And they don't like it when there are, you know, frowning employees versus smiling ones. But I guess the question I want to ask Radar is, so when they tell you that your flight's cancelled or that there's no rental cars, how would you feel if they were smiling when they told you that, Radar? Or would you prefer a neutral expression?
Oh, look, I think there's a difference between a gleeful smile and we're just here to help you smile. I mean, I wasn't terribly upset. I was, you know, I was making the most of it with my turmeric cabbage and my braised venison shoulder and some champagne in the bloody Coru Lounge. So, you know, it was all go for us. There was one unfortunate family, actually. They weren't smiling. They were due to go to Queenstown with their kids. So they couldn't get to Queenstown, and the road back to their house in Eastbourne was flooded. So they literally were stranded in the no man's land of the lounge. But, you know, I think it is that thing that, you know, these people, they're trying their best, and actually to put a smile on in those circumstances, I would have thought would have been, almost been inhumanly difficult as they deal with the frustration of people's disrupted lives.
And I'm sure they'd be wearing their face mask, so you wouldn't actually be able to tell whether they were smiling or not, other than crinkly eyes.
The mayor did deal with that. He says you can tell by the general vibe of it that there is a smile behind the mask.
I had a look at those, you know, those well-known stats that says it's 17 muscles that you use to smile, but it takes you 43 muscles to frown. And I think the only logical conclusion from that is that frowning is a much better workout for your face.
I suppose, unless it contorts your face into a weird thing that creates odd frown stretch marks, I don't really know how that works. I'm pretty lazy, so I guess the using 17 muscles, it's just a lot easier than frowning.
Radar, here's a text for you. Night Lunch, heck yeah, thought you'd like that one. Right, there's also there's a viral sign war. Who'd like to pick up this story for us?
Well, this one comes from Missouri in the States, where McDonald's and Dairy Queen are having a sign war with the signs outside their respective fast food outlets. The first shot in this so-called war fired by McDonald's at Dairy Queen with a sign that read, "Hey, DQ, want to have a sign war?" And so it went on, and the Dairy Queen got involved, McDonald's, and then Wendy's joined in the whole thing as well. So it all got completely out of hand. In Missouri, but one of the
I was going to say, if you go to the Marshfield area Chamber of Commerce, which is the little town in Missouri, literally every business is now involved in this particular sign war, and it seems to have really brought the town together through the medium of signs. My favorite one currently, I think it must be a Domino's one. Your signs are cheesy, just like our pizza. Nice work, Domino's.
Hey, we were talking before about the very friendly staff, despite the situation in Wellington Airport, Te Reira, that you're enjoying, airline and airport staff. But I see if you go to Tenerife, you might just find some hotel staff trying to sabotage your enjoyment of the sun lounges.
This is one of those ongoing things, you know, and most, I think a lot of people blame Germans for this, actually. It's the holding of the lounger with the towel. They get up incredibly early in the morning. They go down, they drape a towel over a lounger, reserving it, and then they turn up sort of mid-afternoon to claim it. And in Tenerife, they've had enough of this, and so they have someone going around in the morning, just basically pulling all the towels off and declaiming them for ordinary folk who don't want to get up early and claim this little bit of space. You're a lounger claimer, James?
I tell you what, I have been on the receiving end. I don't know whether it was Germans or not, but I certainly have been on the receiving end of seeing loungers claimed at an absurdly early hour. But this story references, and they say, you know, that's a constant source of friction for European holidaymakers. And it references an angry pensioner caught on video tipping a holidaymaker off a reserved lounger at a hotel in Portugal. And it describes the pensioner as being a man armed with an ice cream, lifting one end of the sunbed and tipping somebody off, who said, "Put me down, you effing weirdo." I think that's a great clip.
Look, it could be worse. We've had the travel delays this week. I've still got my carry-on bag, which, you know, always, I tell you what, it always works out well just to travel with a carry-on bag. There was a poor woman who was traveling with the ashes, Donna O'Connor, her name was, the ashes of her deceased parents. And of course, you don't want to be getting on a plane with a suspicious white powder. So she put it in her checked-in luggage. She flew from Canada to Dublin. She arrived in Dublin. Her parents did not, lost in transit. A little bit like, Lynn, you might remember Bruce Hopkins' podcast. He was carrying the ashes of his father the length of the country.
That's right, yes.
He lost them somewhere along the way.
I love how you describe ashes as a suspicious white powder. That's fantastic.
Well, I'm assuming it's a whitish, greyish kind of powder. I'm not gray. Really.
Yeah, it's a grey. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Nonetheless, they did track the luggage down eventually, and they'd sent it back to her home in Illinois. And she's like, "What? That was checked through to Dublin. Why have they not sent it through to where we are?" So I guess they'll be waiting for her at home.
I love the statement from Air Canada, the masters of sort of understatement. It said, "The vast majority of customers arrive at destination with their bags." Very polite. Thanks, Air Canada.
That's right. We've got 1 minute to go, and I think everyone loves a consumer story. If you bought socks with a lifetime warranty, man, you'd be up for that, wouldn't you? It sounds too good to be true.
Turns out it is too good to be true.
I don't know if you'd want to take on the claimant here. His name was Kent Slaughter, and he bought socks that were called the Redhead Lifetime Guarantee All-Purpose Wool Socks. And when they wore out, he brought a class action lawsuit.
Well, he had taken them back. This was his fifth time of taking a set of socks back because he said lifetime guarantee. He's just going in and changing them. And I think probably solely based on him, the company changed their policy and now offers a 60-day guarantee. He said, "I would never have bought the socks without a lifetime guarantee." What do people expect these days?
I want them to guarantee that one sock will never lose its partner. That would be a warranty I would want with my socks.
Got a little one for you. Just before we wrap up, James, you'll like this one. A listener responding to your quip about the pensioner getting people off the sun lounge. He said, "The pensioner armed with an ice cream, he was carrying a Magnum." Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Tereda. Thank you, James Elliott. Take care, everybody.